Well, you've heard a lot about the Assembly today, and I'm not here to round it all up, as it were. But I think it's important to understand why this is an important subject. We've spoken in prayer about what it means to the Lord, and it cost him everything. He surrendered everything in order that he might secure the Assembly. The Assembly is one of the families that will be in a day to come, and it is unique, completely unique, in that being a creature vessel as it is, it's closest to deity. It's not, doesn't partake of deity, but it came from the side of Christ, and it's the only family that is indwelt by a divine person. So the Assembly is absolutely unique. And as we've said, it comprises every believer from Pentecost to the rapture. The truth of the Assembly could not be opened up until the Lord was out of death and on high and the Spirit was here. That's why it was given to the Apostle Paul to open up the truth of the Assembly. Now, the Assembly has no past history. No past history. The individuals, you and I, that make up the Assembly have a past history. We required the full cleansing power of the blood of Christ to bring us into this body. But the Assembly as an entity has no past history. It's the work of God in you and I, begun by a new birth of the Holy Spirit. So it's entirely divine, the work of God. And that is why it's not subject to breakdown. The public position of the Assembly and the public perception of it is one of breakdown. And the breakdown has come in, the failure has come in on our part, not on the divine side. And so it's helpful then that we see the Assembly from the divine side as a vessel in which there is no breakdown whatever. As we were saying earlier, there could not be breakdown in anything that both the Lord and the Holy Spirit have committed themselves to. And I think we can get bogged down as we see the scattering and the smallness. We can get bogged down with that, but I think we need to view the Assembly as heaven views the Assembly. It's Christ's Assembly, but it's also the Assembly of God, which he purchased with the blood of his own. There's been a tremendous cost paid, the blood of Christ, to secure the Assembly. Now, Assembly truth is not, sadly, widely understood by Christians. And that's a sad fact. We had a woman at work who was an earnest and bright Christian who had no concept of the church and what it meant to Christ and of the rapture and all the things that we hold precious. She had no concept of it at all. It's not brethren's teaching either. I stress that. Truth of the Assembly is not brethren's teaching. It's universal. And we came across one, Daniel Altiano, who most of you know here, who'd never met any brethren until he walked into the room at William Street in Blair. And we went over things together, and he was absolutely clear about the Bride of Christ and what it meant, and it was quite refreshing. Not surprising, because the brethren, while having some understanding of the truth of the Assembly, it's certainly not a preserve of the brethren. It's understood by Christians in many parts of the world. But it's sad that not every Christian understands it. I'd just like to refer to one or two scriptures that relate to the Assembly and the types. And the finest type we find of the Assembly in Scripture is in Genesis 2. verse 21. And Jehovah Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up flesh in its stead. And Jehovah Elohim built the rib that he had taken from man into a woman, and brought her to man. And man said, this time it is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This shall be called woman, because it was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his wife, his father and his mother, and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Now, why this is one of the highest types of the assembly is it's before sin came in at all. This is before sin came in. And Paul brings this up to date in Ephesians 5. He speaks as to Christ and the assembly, referring to this scripture. And so he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, which would refer to the death of Christ. That's what that would refer to. There's no sign of suffering here because sin has not actually come in. But the deep sleep involves his death. And then the rib taken out shows that the assembly is of Christ. It was taken from Christ. So another cliche that you'll hear is that the assembly is heavenly in origin and heavenly in destiny. That's what is meant, because it came from Christ. That's what it meant. That's what that means. And so it's the deep sleep comes upon him, and then this is formed as a result of that. And that's what happened, that Christ went into death and he comes out of death, his work complete, and there we find the nucleus of the assembly in the upper room when the Spirit comes. And the other thing about the other way that the assembly is portrayed in Scripture is as a pearl, as we all know, merchantmen seeking beautiful pearls. Now, a pearl is formed through suffering. A piece of grit, as you know, enters the oyster, and the oyster coats it and coats it and coats it. It becomes an irritation at the start, but it's coated until the irritation goes away. It's formed through suffering, and there is no way that the hand of man can improve a pearl. A man can polish a diamond, can cut a diamond and bring out its beauty, but a pearl has all its beauty there. It's the product of divine workmanship, the assembly is, and it cannot be improved upon by the hand of man. And so it's important to realise the uniqueness of the assembly, and also what it means to the heart of Christ. It comes in Genesis 24, again a type of the assembly. You remember that Isaac, Abraham sends out the servant in order to secure a bride for Isaac. Now, there's been preparation for this, because in Genesis 22, you have Isaac, Abraham told to offer up Isaac. And he goes right to the very point of slaying Isaac, and in the belief that even if he did, God would bring him again through resurrection, because he knew that the promises came through Isaac. Now, if you read it carefully, you'll find that there's no mention of Isaac coming down from Mount Moriah. Abraham came down, but there's no mention of Isaac coming down. The setting is that Christ is in glory. And then you have Sarah. In chapter 23, you have Sarah dying. And that is representing Israel and the fact that there is no response from Israel at the moment to the heart of Christ. And then in chapter 4, you have the servant set out in view of securing a bride for Isaac. Now, this is the activities of the Holy Spirit here on earth in view of the assembly being secured and being escorted in its wilderness journey. That's what's happening at the moment. The Lord is on high, the Spirit is here, and the assembly is here, and the Spirit is conducting or escorting the assembly in view of Christ coming back to take her to be with himself. That's what we find a picture of in Genesis 24. So you have the servant, she's ready to go with the servant. We don't have much about the conversations that would have passed between them. She could have seen the treasure that was under the man's hand. And you know, that's what the Spirit is doing. He's occupying believers with the treasures that belong to Christ. Until the question is asked, who is the man coming to meet us? That is my master. This is the Spirit's activities, pointing out the glories of Christ. So the Spirit's activities in the assembly are vital. And then it says that Isaac took her into his mother's tent and he comforted after the death of his mother. Think of what the assembly means to Christ today. Think of what the Lord felt about his rejection by Israel. Think of him weeping over Jerusalem. The Lord felt it, you know, that he came to his own and his own received him not. Israel nationally rejected Christ and he felt it. But you know, we find there he's comforted. It's like there's been a Gentile answer secured for the heart of Christ. Not only Gentile, of course, but Jew and Gentile brought together into one body. And, you know, this is what it is answering to the heart of Christ now. Israel's praise will come in the day to come. But at the moment, it's only the response from the assembly that the Lord has. And this is why this truth is so important. And Satan is set against it, absolutely set against it. The Lord speaks of the gates of Hades. That's an administration of evil that is set against the Lord's people, the assembly. But we can thank God that it will not prevail, but it will never give up, never give up. And so the Lord's on high, the Spirit comes, and you find that believers in the early church become the target for Satan. And one man who persecuted the church, as we know, was headed for Damascus. And he was stopped in his tracks by the Lord Jesus. And the Lord publicly committed himself, identified himself with the believers that were on the earth at that point. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And there it was, right at the start of Paul becoming a Christian, he had the idea that the saints that were on the earth were the body of Christ. And what it was for that man's soul to realize that he had been persecuting the assembly, the persecuting that which was so precious to the heart of Christ. And so the truth of the assembly was given to Paul to open up. So Paul's ministry is so important. The truth of the head in heaven and the body here is the truth of the assembly. Now you can't disconnect the two. The Lord's in glory, the body, the Spirit is here in the assembly. And it's not so much the side of command, it's the side of influence. The head controls everything in the body. The Lord is controlling everything on high in the matters that relate to the assembly. And so in Ephesians 5, it comes in Colossians as well, but in Ephesians we get the height of the truth set out. And the highest height of the truth in relation to the assembly is we learn that he's head over all things to the assembly. That's the glory of Christ is united to the assembly. And we read that he's head of the assembly. And we read that the all various wisdom of God is displayed in the assembly. And so it's an important vessel to take account of and to understand how it functions. But then it speaks there in chapter 5 of how the Lord nourishes and cherishes the assembly and how he uses the word in view of her presentation. The assembly is the Lord's chief interest here on earth at the moment. Christ also loved the assembly, delivered himself up for it, in order that he might sanctify it, purifying it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself the assembly to himself glorious, having no spot or wrinkle or any of such thing, so that but that it might be holy and blameless. The Lord's service in relation to the assembly is going on through the application of the Word of God. And so it's his chief interest at the moment, and it should be our chief interest too. And so I just refer to the rapture and the assembly's place in the day to come. Again, truth is to the rapture. If truth is to the assembly is not understood, then quite often truth as to the rapture is not understood either. The prime thought in the rapture is the Lord coming for the assembly. And it's mentioned particularly, as we know, in 1 Thessalonians 5. There are not many scriptures that relate to the rapture, but that one is absolutely clear. And I don't think we need any more than one. But the Lord is coming himself for the assembly. Now, there is teaching abroad that says that the assembly will go through the tribulation. But that is not according to the word of God. He says to Philadelphia, which represents that which is true among Christians anywhere. Philadelphia does not represent any single gathering of believers. It represents that which is true to Christ wherever it's found. And he says to Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee out of the hour of trial. You know, you could hardly think of the assembly being left here when the man of sin is rampaging on the earth. The assembly will be taken to glory before the judgment starts. And in Revelation, after chapter 4, the assembly is always viewed as being in heaven. So the rapture is an important thing, and it will happen before the tribulation. The Lord is coming for his assembly. That's the prime thought, because the rapture will involve the raising of the Old Testament saints as well. The worthies, Abraham, Isaac, all who were faithful to God in the Old Testament will be raised and raptured at the same time. They will have part in the first resurrection. But the prime thought is the translation of the assembly to be taken up to the place where it belongs. And it's quite a challenge to my heart. If I really understood the truth of the assembly as being heavenly in destiny, why do I seek for things here? The Lord never offered anybody anything here. The blessings, the inheritance are all heavenly and eternal. Israel's blessings are earthly, but ours are heavenly. I just refer to Revelation. There'll be a white flag going up shortly. John, in Revelation 21, verse 10, the angel comes to John and says, come here, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit and set me on a great and high mountain. And I think this is the only view that we should have of the assembly. It's from a great and high place. I think when we see the breakdown around us, we don't get this view, the heavenly view of the assembly. John is placed on a great and a high mountain. And he says, he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. This is the assembly. This is another title of the assembly. And it's coming down from heaven. It's coming down. It's a city. Now, a city means administration. That is that the assembly is going to have her part with Christ in the millennium. When Christ reigns, he will reign with the assembly, and the administration will come through the assembly. And so here it is, coming down from God, having the glory of God. Think of a creature vessel that's able to have the glory of God. It speaks of Babylon as having taken glory to herself. The assembly doesn't glorify herself. She is glorified by divine persons, by the indwelling spirit, and by the Lord himself. But she comes down. So the Lord is coming for his saints, for the church, in order that they might come with him, in order to take up this role in the day to come, in the millennium, when she will reign with Christ. Well, these are just some precious thoughts to me in relation to the assembly. The way she was formed through suffering, what it cost, and the fact that she's exclusively for the heart of Christ, and that the present answer to the heart of Christ is only in the assembly. It's only in the assembly. Therefore, we should be exercised to have our part in praise and in testimony while we wait the Lord's return. But then it's so important, the rapture. He's coming himself. He's not sending an angel. He's coming himself. And we shall see the Lord. We've never seen him. We'll see him in actuality. That thrills my heart to think of seeing Christ. But what a day for him, you know. What a day for Christ when the assembly is raptured, taken away from things here, taken to be with him eternally. That is immediately before us. Immediately. There's nothing else that's to happen. The rapture is the next thing. Let us be exercised in relation to the answer to the heart of Christ. Let us be concerned that we understand and go in for assembly truth. It's important to Christ. It should be important to us. And let us realise the importance of the assembly in the day to come, and that it will be used in administration and it will reign with Christ.